Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
And Martha Burnett, she's a journalist and public speaker and co-host of the radio show and podcast Away With Words. Her latest book, Friends With Words, Adventures in Language Land, is the Word Nerd Gift Book of the Year. Welcome to the show, Martha.
It's so good to be here, Hannah.
Ah, it's great to have you. Thank you for joining us. So you've been doing this podcast and radio show Away With Words for 2 decades now. That's amazing.
It really is. I didn't even think about that until I started writing the book. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, I've been talking to thousands of people about language. People just never run out of things to say.
Yeah, great. And how did you come up with the idea of doing this show? You obviously have a love of language yourself.
Yes. Well, the show existed before. Excuse me. The show existed before I joined it. There were two guys who did the show at KPBS in San Diego, Richard Lederer and Charles Harrington Elster. And then when one of them left the show, they did a nationwide search, found me in Kentucky writing books on word origins with a horrible public speaking phobia. But writing about word origins was my passion. And I thought, well, my gosh, if I can do this every week with people, if I can talk to people about how much I love, how much I love words and where they come from, then this is the job for me, even if I have a horrible public speaking phobia, which I no longer have because of 20 years at this.
Oh, amazing. So you conquered a fear at the same time.
I did indeed. Yes.
Oh, fabulous. So how do you go about finding words to look for when you kind of look back at their etymology?
Well, our listeners call us with hundreds. They leave us hundreds of voicemails and emails every week because they're curious about all kinds of things, you know, like where did we get a word like cocktail, or, you know, why does my kid use the term skibbity? And so we're constantly tracking down words, going down different rabbit holes to find out the origins of words and how people use them.
And you must have come across some amazing ones over the years, surprising yourself all the time, I suppose.
Well, yeah. I mean, every word has a story. If you think about a word like silhouette, you know, that image that's just sort of black and white, just sort of an outline of somebody, that comes from the name of Etienne de Silhouette, who was France's newly appointed finance minister in 1759, who did all this budget cutting, just slashing the national budget, slashing people's pensions, trying to cut corners wherever he could. He even put a tax on windows and trouser cuffs because those were symbols of wealth. And he was trying to be a disruptor. Imagine that. But he proved so unpopular that he only lasted 8 months in office, and his name became shorthand for anything done on the cheap. And people back then couldn't afford usually a really nice portrait of themselves, but they could certainly afford one of those simple black cutout portraits. And so those became known as silhouettes, named after France's ousted finance minister.
Wow, that's so interesting. No, and no one could ever guess that, could they? You know, you have to really find these things out. You couldn't make that up.
No, you couldn't. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that language is fossil poetry. And that's the kind of thing that I love digging into and digging up, you know, that fossil poetry or those fossilized stories that sometimes are locked inside a single word.
Yeah. So what else can you think of? Any other examples you can share with us? There's probably obviously so many.
Yeah, there's so many. You know, people ask me to choose a favorite word, and that's sort of like choosing a favorite child or choosing a favorite a star. But I mean, a couple of them. I mean, I think my favorite word of all time is the term mellifluous, which refers to a beautiful voice, you know, like yours, mellifluous. And it comes from the Latin words that mean flowing with honey. You know, Spanish speakers will recognize the miel in mellifluous. It means flowing with honey. Or the word petrichor, which is that wonderful word for the smell after it rains, you know, just that delicious scent that's in the air after it rains. That's called petrichor, which comes from the word ichor, which was the substance that was flowing in the veins of Greek gods and goddesses and kept them immortal. The ichor in petrichor has to do with that. And the petra in petrichor, like Spanish piedra, comes from the Latin word for stone. So it's, you know, this gorgeous substance that comes up from the stones and makes the air smell wonderful.
Oh, amazing. Love that. It's funny that having not heard that word, because a lot of people talk about loving the smell of rain when it's just happened. And but if I haven't heard that word.
Yes, it's a fabulous word. In fact, I just went to a John Batiste concert here in San Diego over the weekend. And one of his songs is called Petrichor. And it's
no
just
way.
Such a... Yes, yes. So it's a wonderful celebration of that that experience. But the word itself, to me, is really delicious.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's funny how people have words that they don't like. You know,
yeah, that's true.
People talk about words that make them go, something like moist. A lot of people don't like the word moist because you kind of go, it's all kind of sticky and bleh.
That is true. We've gotten some very funny calls about the word moist because it really skeeves some people. You know, it just makes them cringe. And linguists have actually looked into this. Why does the term M-O-I-S-T, I'll spell it in case anybody has a hard time with it, but why does M-O-I-S-T bother so many people? And they were trying to figure out, well, is it, you know, the diphthong in there? It sounds sort of, you know, this is the same sound in goiter. But what linguists have pretty much surmised is that it's the things that moist is associated with. And I won't go too far into that. But people have, you know, language is really, really personal. And you grow up hearing a word a certain way, like pronunciations. Sometimes pronunciations drive people crazy. I don't know. How do you pronounce the word O-F-T-E-N?
Often.
Often?
Yeah. Often.
With the T sound? Yeah, that's interesting because I grew up saying often, and sometimes people are really bothered by that, or Yeah, and I just tell them, well, soften your criticism of this word, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think in different circumstances whether, yeah, I think I'm, you've really got me there. I think I was, I often think about, yes, I would say often.
You often.
But
uh-huh,
then often, uh-huh. No, yeah, I think I would pronounce the T, definitely.
Yeah, sometimes you start looking at this stuff and then you can't stop.
Yeah, oh, I bet. And also, I mean, does it annoy you when people pronounce things wrong? You know, do you sort of feel the need to correct people like people correct people about grammar when they've written something wrong?
Yes, that's an excellent question because so often, I'm pronouncing it without the T, so often we have learned these rules of grammar that aren't necessarily true. They were imposed by 17th and 18th century grammarians who said, well, you can't end a sentence with a preposition. And I just tell people, well, that's nonsense up with which I will not put. or they tell you you can't split an infinitive. And that's just because they wanted to try to make English like Latin, where you can't split an infinitive. The same thing with Spanish. You can't, you know, the infinitive is just one word. But you can absolutely split an infinitive. It's perfectly okay. And the thing about pronunciations is so many times, if you go and look up a word in the dictionary, you will see more than one pronunciation. In fact, here in the United States, there are something like 20 pronunciations of the word water. I say water in Philadelphia, they say water, and there are different variations of that. And, you know, when you're talking about English, I mean, whose English are you talking about? British English, American English, Canadian English, Kiwi English? They're all different kinds of Englishes all over the world, you know, Jamaican English, Ghanaian English. And so on Away With Words, we celebrate all that linguistic diversity. Yeah, sometimes a pronunciation might grate on you a little bit, or I tell you, my spouse will talk about, here's my one pet peeve. My spouse will talk about, if I'm looking for the peanut butter, you know, my spouse will say, oh, it lives in that cabinet over there. And there's something about talking about peanut butter being alive that really bothers me, but plenty of people, I actually looked it up in Merriam-Webster, and there is one of the definitions of lives is to be located. So I have to let that one go. And my philosophy is sort of let go of those peeves. I like to think of our show as a spay and neuter program for your pet peeves, because, you know, there's so much more to talk about when it comes to language.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the differences in pronunciation with American English and British English is fascinating, you know. And like the herb basil, for example, we'd say basil and you'd say
basil. Yeah
we basil. Exactly.
Yeah, we are two countries separated by a common language. It's and I find it delightful. I watch a lot of British TV, and I'm always I'm taking notes. I love the pronunciation differences.
Yeah, and accents as well. I mean, that's a fascinating one. I do find it so interesting that accents in the UK are so diverse, when you can be,
yes,
literally just, you know, 20-30 miles up the road, and the accent can be completely different. And I remember find it fascinating going to Australia, which size wise is obviously ginormous compared to England.
Yeah.
But they don't have many accents. Loads of Australians told me there's like a city accent and a outback accent. And you're like, what? That's crazy.
And that's it, huh? Yeah, I was really excited to when I was studying accents here for the show and looking at American accents and noticing how different they are. You know, if you go from the Northeast coast to the Southeast coast, you see all different, you hear all different kinds of accents, like the New York accent and Boston. And you go all the way down to Florida, and it's very, very, very diverse. You go west and it's a little bit different. You know, it's a lot harder to tell if somebody's from Washington State or say Oregon or Idaho. And so I was so fascinated by all this. And then I started studying British dialects, and oh my gosh, y'all have so many more diverse dialects than we do. It would take a lifetime to study.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You obviously love your job. It must be so nice to be so obsessed with something, really, really passionate and interested.
Well, yes, I absolutely do. And so I felt like, you know, how do I share even more of this, which is why I wrote the book. But yeah, I mean, if you start listening to this stuff and you approach language by being curious rather than furious about why somebody says this or that. I mean, there's so many interesting reasons behind why people say what they do. You know, one of the big ones here in the States is some people will say needs washed, like the car needs washed or the cat needs let out or the baby needs held. And that strikes a lot of Americans as really weird because, you know, most Americans want to say the car needs to be washed or the cat needs to be let out. But that's a vestige of Scots-Irish dialect, and it follows immigration patterns of Scots-Irish people. So that's where you see those settlements in the U.S., that's where you hear that locution. And, you know, when people hear that for the first time, if they don't use that locution, they think, oh, what's wrong with that person? But the fact is, it's this wonderful linguistic fossil. So if you perk your ears up and listen to those kinds of things, it you know, you can get as excited about this stuff as I am.
Yeah, lovely. And you also talk in the book a bit about your journey, where your love of language came from.
Yes, I'm the daughter of educators, and so I was friends with words for a very long time because my mom was an English teacher and taught me a lot of those rules. But when I got to college, I tried studying ancient Greek, and I nearly flunked out of the class. But I found this elderly tutor from Latvia who happened to be a polyglot and taught me language in a whole different way. He just threw out my Greek textbook and handed me a copy of Oedipus Rex in the original Greek. And I thought, this is nuts. You know, how can I read Oedipus Rex when I can barely read my first year primer? But he said, let's start with the word Oedipus. In the story of Oedipus, his feet are swollen and his name literally means swollen foot. And he said, you have in English, do you not, the word edema? And I said, yeah. And he said, what does it mean? It means swelling. And I suddenly realized that, that there are so many languages that stem from a common ancestor, you know, they're branches of the same tree. And so, you know, you see the same word, in Spanish for edema, right? Edema. And there are so many languages that are connected because they go back to this prehistoric ancestor. And it was just a totally different way of learning about language and seeing that languages like Russian and Irish and Greek and Italian and English are all connected by these common roots. And so it was actually a thrilling way to learn about language. It was sort of a bird's eye view of language rather than just sitting there and trying to create vocabulary words into my head. And
amazing. And do you enjoy doing puzzles and playing games with words?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, Hannah, because I have to confess I'm a terrible Scrabble player.
No way! You can't be!
Well, I probably don't get much practice because people are afraid to play with me, but you know, I'll want to be, you know, doing some obscure word and I've got every letter but one and the other people start beating me. So I'm honestly not very good at those kinds of puzzles. I like puzzling out etymologies instead.
Yeah, that's really funny. So people expect you to do big words and then you'll be embarrassingly putting down cat.
Exactly, which is not very many points.
No, definitely not. Well, it's been lovely chatting with you. If listeners want to get a copy of your book, Friends with Words, Adventures in Language Land, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Martha Burnett, who we've been chatting with. Martha, thank you so much for joining us.
What fun. Thank you so much, Hannah.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.